Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between thee, me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If I will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if I depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Amen. And God will bless this reading from his very own infallible book. Turn with me to the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis. I want to speak tonight upon Lot, Mr. Lot, Lot by name, and Lot by nature. There are many characters introduced to us in Holy Scripture. They step onto the stage of Scripture, some of them, and take prime place and are right out on the front. And then they pass on and make room for someone else. Now those supreme characters of Scripture stand out most prominently in the Word of God. But with them, there comes those, as it were, who are on their coattails. They wouldn't be mentioned if the great man himself with which they were connected hadn't such a place in Scripture. And we would have never have heard of Lot except he was on the coattail of his uncle Abraham. You see, Lot was the son of a younger brother of Abraham. The younger brother died, and Abraham and his wife Sarai, Uncle Abraham and Aunt Sarai, took the young man Lot into their home and gave him absolutely everything he possessed. And in the Scripture, you'll find many characters who are in the shadow of a great character, as Lot was in the shadow of Abraham. We've only to read the narrative, and we discover that God spoke personally many times to Abraham and appeared to him. God only spoke once personally and appeared to Lot only once in his whole life. You see, down there in Ur of the Chaldees, where the family of Terah, Abraham's father, had their first habitation, God one day met Abraham, and he said, "Abraham, I'm serving upon you today an expulsion warrant. I'm expelling you from your father's house, from your father's country, from your father's friends, and from everything that has to do with your family. You have to leave it all, Abraham." And Abraham, who was an idolater at the time, came back and he told his family that God had put upon him this warrant to leave the father's house. An ejection order had been served by the Most High God. You know what happened? His father took over the order. He said, "Abraham, you're not leaving me. I'm going to go with you." Abraham should have said to his father, "You're not going. God has not called you. God has called me to leave you." But the father took over. And the father went with this pilgrimage until they came to a place called Haran. And then they got stuck. The old father didn't get any farther because his grave was dug and his body was buried. And then Abraham came back to the ejection order. And he left the rest of his family in Haran, and he went on to the land that God showed him to go to. But Lot went with him. Abraham's father and Lot's grandfather were, of course, ruled out of this, because the old man was dead. And you know, until God strikes the old man in our lives, we'll never get into the promised land. We need to remember that. The old man that savors of the things of Adam and Adam's fall must be dealt with. And then Abraham led them into the promised land. And Lot, of course, was with Abraham. The nephew had grown up. Abraham had no heir. Lot had big ideas for himself. He was deciding that he was going to take over, that he would be the real man to lead this expedition that had started by the vision that Abraham had. And then a famine came. And Abraham didn't consult God. He consulted himself, and he went down to Egypt. That was one of the greatest tragedies of Abraham's life. The day he went to Egypt, Egypt got into his tent, got into his family. Egypt got into Lot's soul. A terrible thing to step out of the will of God. It is dangerous, brother, sister, to step out of the will of God, because your act will not only wreck your own spiritual life, but will wreck others. And Lot went down into Egypt. Catastrophe overcame Abraham. He almost had his life taken. And then he was driven out of Egypt by Pharaoh. He almost lost the purity of his wife in Pharaoh's harem. What a tragedy. And Lot comes back out of Egypt with his uncle. But Lot has been contaminated in Egypt. He has seen civilization. He has seen the grandeur and the comfort and the pleasures of the civilized world. And he wants to maintain that. When Abraham came out of Egypt, he went to Bethel and he worshipped God. You don't read that Lot worshipped God. Lot went to Bethel, attended the ceremonies, but he didn't worship God. Why? He was completely out of tune with the Most High God. And then something happened. A great row started, and it started over property. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelt then in the land. Isn't it interesting? The Holy Spirit draws attention that the world looked on as the godly man Abraham was having strife because of the selfishness and the backsliding and the worldliness and the lust of Lot. What a picture. And the world looks on while Christians flirt with the world, fall out with themselves, and are after the things that are of the flesh, and not after the things that are of the Spirit. And then this strife becomes a feud. And we read, there was strife, and Abraham said, let there be no strife. But Lot says, there will be strife. I have cattle now, Abraham. You're not the only man with cattle. I have got gold, Abraham. I have got silver. I have got many, many servants. I am equal with you, and I'll have my way. So one day, I was looking up the Bible chronology of this 2,000 years before Christ was born. This happened. 2,000 years before Christ was born, two men went on a journey. Abraham and Lot. And they went up the mountain road to the top of the great cliff face. And down in the valley was the fair valley of the Jordan River. And as they went up that path, Abraham said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, Lot. As I look on you, Lot, I think of my young brother. And when he died, I told God I would look after his orphan son. And I've looked after you, Lot. I've done everything I can to make you happy and well. I rejoice in your prosperity, but let there be no strife." And when he got to the top of the pathway, both men stood. And Abraham said, "There has to be a separation. You have got to go your way, and I'm going the opposite way. If you go to the left, I'm going to the right. If you go to the right, I'm going to the left. Wherever you go, I'm going in the opposite direction. We cannot agree, so there is going to be a separation." Of course, there was no reason why they could not agree, only Lot. Because he was Lot by name and by nature. He wanted the lot. That was his trouble. And so he was determined he would have strife with Abraham. And Lot took the first of six steps outside the will of God. And the last step brought him to a cave where he had lost his purity and his two daughters had become great with child through that act of lust. Trace the way down of Lot. First step he took was strife with Abraham. Then look at the second step he took. He took a step that was characterized by a look. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Look at it. Verse 10. "And beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." What does it say about it? "Even as the garden of the Lord, like the land," notice it, "of Egypt." Oh, this man was in Egypt. He came out of Egypt, but Egypt didn't come out of him. You need to ask yourself the question, Christian, have you got Egypt dealt with in your life? Here is a man who saw the wonders of God under Abraham. But he still had Egypt in his mind, in his heart, and in his soul. The second step that this man took was one of looking. Looking. How often do you look on the face of Jesus? How often do you look on the face of the world? And then you can test yourself. Are you walking in the ways of God, or are you walking in the ways of the world? And then he made a choice. He chose him all the plain of Jordan. Think of it. He said, "Abraham, you're going to get nothing. I'm taking in this whole countryside. It's going to all be mine." What a selfish brat Lot was. And I want to say to you, that's what the devil does with God's children. When they step out of the will of God, they become selfish brats. You can't talk to a man of God when he's outside God's will. He comes as hard as granite. He thinks he's right, and he will go his own way. The only thing you can do with a man like that is do what Abraham did. Pray. It's the only thing you can do. No man can break the granite of rebellion in a man's life. He made a choice. And then look at it. He traveled east. But I remind you that everybody that traveled east in the Bible got into trouble. You should be traveling west. The people that travel west in the Bible get the joy and the peace. The people that travel east get darkness and a curse. Just read the Bible and mark all the people that travel east. And he traveled east. He was going the wrong road. And then he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He was out of the plain with his tent one day. And the next day he was house hunting in Sodom itself, looking for a house. And then we read, he dwelt in Sodom. And the men of Sodom were exceeding great sinners before God. 6 steps he took downward. He didn't want any altar. He didn't want any Bethel. He didn't want any dealings with the house of God. He had made up his mind that he was going to get Egypt back, although he had left. And he would make an Egypt in the valley. That's what attracted him, like the land of Egypt. If you read the story of Lot, you will find that everything he sought for, he didn't get. Lot was looking for peace. He didn't get any peace. Turn over in your Bible to the New Testament and look with me at this scripture. I think it's one of the saddest scriptures in the whole of the Bible. It's about this man, Lot. It's in 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, we read this. Let me make it very plain to you that Lot was a saved man with eternal life in his heart. He knew the Lord. He knew God's salvation, but he went out of the will of God. Look at verse 7. And delivered just Lot. He was a justified man. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was looking for peace, but he never got peace. All he got, vexation. Child of God, if you're outside the will of God, you'll never have peace. There's no peace for you. You're going to have vexation of spirit all your days. You're going to be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. No peace. And then you'll notice something. He lost his testimony. Genesis 19:8. Now here is this man who vexed his righteous soul with the sins of Sodom and their evil conversation, this righteous man. He stands in his own doorway and he offers his two daughters to become whores to the whore masters of Sodom. He says, I have two daughters. They're innocent girls. They're virgins. I'll give them to you. Do what you like with them. I want to tell you that's far, far down a man can go, even though he's a righteous man, when he leaves the path of truth and righteousness and is taken over by the devil. He lost his testimony. And then something else, he lost his family. Do you remember the day when the judgment
angels came to Sodom. They said, go out and talk to your sons-in-law, the people that have married your daughters, and ask those people to come and leave the city before we judge it. And he went out and he seen there's one that mocked. They laughed at him. They laughed at him. Those that had married into his family, you see, he had lost his peace. He had lost his testimony. He had lost his family. And then the day that he was pulled out of Sodom, his wife turned back and she became a pillar of salt. He lost his wife, the mother of his children. He thought he was making gains. You never make gains, brethren and sisters, outside the will of God. If you're outside God's will, there's no gain ever made. There's no prosperity ever come. There's no peace ever come. It's all losses when we don't walk in the will of God. God is calling for a people who will follow Him, do His will. Here am I. Send me, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? The man with a right spirit and the man with a true heart. Lot lost his peace. He lost his testimony. He lost his family in Sodom. He lost his wife on the way out of Sodom. But he did something else. He lost his own purity. And in that cave, his two daughters became great with child by lusting with her father, making him drunk. Think of it. This man who was a righteous man, this man whose soul was vexed, lies in his drink in the cave. What a testimony. I tell you, when you go outside God's will, a child of God outside the will of God can do anything but go to hell. He can commit any other sin. You just remember that. How far down he went. And then he lost everything. Because it says he dwelt in fear in that cave. He lost everything. What road are you going to take, child of God, tonight? Are you going to take the road of Abraham or the road of Lot? We're living in a day when there's a multiplicity of lots, when there's a multiplicity of hypocrisy, when people pretend to be something that they're not, and pray prayers that are a sham because they're like Lot. Their heart is in the world. Their heart is not with God. Oh, that God might bring us, like Father Abraham, back to Bethel. Oh, that God might bring us, like Abraham, to where we were at the beginning. Oh, that God might bring us to the place where we're totally and absolutely and all together committed to His work. That's what God is looking for tonight among the people of God. Judgment Day, honesty. That's it. May God search our hearts and challenge our eyes. And may we cry out, God, never let me be a Lot. Let me be like Abraham. What a difference between Abraham, the separatist, the man that got out of Egypt and got Egypt out of himself and walked. What did God say about him? I know Abraham, that he will order his family after my command. What a difference. Abraham became the only man in the Bible that God ever said was his friend. He became the friend of God. The friend of God. What a difference. I trust that this message will sink into all our hearts. That every one of us will be warned. That every one of us will take stock. That every one of us will say, "Where am I? Where am I tonight?" And I trust that those that are not saved will come to be saved by the grace of God. May it be so, for Jesus' sake.